Blog Talk Radio.
This morning early, the Lord spoke clearly these two words: I'm coming. The day of my return is at hand. Let my people know it's about to happen. What is about to occur will change world history. Nothing will remain the same. Let the unbelievers, let the skeptics, let the religious ones know that what they fear the most is about to happen. My warm season of grace and mercy will soon turn to a chilling winter of judgment and wrath.
Prophecy Quake. I am Pastor Dean Odle, your host tonight, and we have a very special guest here in a little while. A young man by the name of David V. Loy will be joining us to share a couple of prophetic dreams that the Lord has given him. We are about prophecy on this program. As you heard, that intro there is a prophecy from the late Steve Hill, the evangelist who led the Great Brownsville Revival in Pensacola, Florida. One day here soon, we're going to have to play the entire prophetic word. It's one of the most powerful prophetic words that I've ever heard given in a church service about the end times and the second coming of Jesus and the things that are going to happen. And we'll play that one day soon. But again, you got a little clip there in the intro. Again, we welcome you tonight. What we're going to talk about tonight, our subject tonight, of course, if you're looking out there on the internet and looking at the titles, maybe on Facebook, we're going to talk about prophetic dreams, and we may even just add in here prophetic dreams and visions and things from the scriptures that we believe address the United States of America and judgments that will soon fall upon our land. Actually, there's some that have already happened, but there's a warning, or I should say warnings, going forth from the Holy Spirit to many people in the body of Christ throughout, really throughout the world, but particularly in America, warning that America will be chastened, we will be corrected, we will be judged, God will lift his hand away from us in measure. Prophets over the last several decades, from David Wilkerson to Leonard Ravenhill to Keith Green, many others, Henry Groover, there's just been so many that God has given very specific visions. Of course, David Wilkerson had a vision in 1973 that's come to pass to the letter in our day, in our time. He also had a prophetic word about the destruction coming to America. Kenneth Hagin. You know, some people criticize Kenneth Hagin because of supposedly being the father of the Word of Faith movement, but I've read most of Kenneth Hagin's books, and the man was a true prophet. He was a true minister of the gospel. He wasn't perfect. I don't believe David Wilkerson was perfect, or any man of God or woman of God is a perfect. We're perfect in our lives or perfect in our theology or whatever. But there's certain tests. If they love Jesus and they preach the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that he is God in the flesh, he is the only way to heaven. Jesus lived a sinless life and died for our sins, and that his blood is precious and holy and wonderful, and there is a heaven and there is a hell, and sin and refusing to repent and believe the gospel of Jesus will send you to hell forever. If they believe these truths, then, you know, I don't have a problem with these brothers. Now, they may not, you know, everybody's not perfect, and people have made mistakes. And guess what? People have made mistakes in the prophetic area. They've made mistakes in their theology at times, and people have come back and said, you know what? I was wrong about that. I repent. I remember, just for instance, I know we're kind of taking a side road here, but a lot of people criticize Kenneth Hagin, but he came back right before he died and wrote a book, The Midas Touch, to rebuke and correct all the abuses that he saw in the Word of Faith movement and the prosperity message. And, of course, most of those ministers that he called in personally to address, of course, didn't listen to him and rejected the correction of an elder. And so, but just bringing him up, what I'm talking about, he gave a very specific prophecy in 1950 where he saw a vision while doing a tent revival in Rockwall, Texas in 1950. He saw American cities being destroyed, foreign armies marching in, men and women in tears, crying, weeping over the destruction and basically the fall of America. And, you know, I say this tonight, I'm going to make this very clear. I'm not an America hater. I love my country. I love the United States of America. There's been many good things about our country, though, of course, now we're becoming known for many evil things. But God blessed our country, and he raised up many, many Christians in America to fund the gospel and to personally take the gospel to the nations of the world. I know a lot of people who have personally gone to other countries, risked their lives to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth of the Bible in a very sincere way. And so the United States has been blessed, but now we are in a time period where even the church in America, you know, sinners are going to sin. I tell people all the time, we can't expect an unsaved person to act like a saved person. A fish is going to be a fish. A duck's going to be a duck. But when the church in America departs from the truth of Scripture, when we depart from even fundamentals of Scripture, when we depart and we just think that we can indulge any lust, any sin, anything, and continue to live in sin and live any way we want, and that Jesus is okay with that. When we teach doctrines like universalism or universal salvation, that everybody's going to be saved and go to heaven whether they know it or know Jesus or not, when we start departing from the truth and just indulging in sin, like many churches now in America are okay with homosexuality, they believe there can even be gay Christians now that are going to heaven. And so we are truly seeing and have seen over the last few decades, but particularly in the last 10 to 20 years, a great falling away in the American church. The American church has become seeker-sensitive, seeker-friendly. The gospel's been watered down. It's been traded in for entertainment, for motivational speaking, and you know, people don't even want the gifts of the Holy Spirit to operate in the church. And, you know, and that brings me to my next point. You know, the Bible is very clear about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And because we're going to be talking about dreams and visions that we believe are from the Lord tonight, it's important to address that subject from a biblical perspective. But, you know, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 is very, very clear that we are to not quench not the Holy Spirit, that we are to despise not prophesying, and that we're to prove all things and to hold fast to that which is good. And I'm sad tonight because over the years, and you know, I've been in the ministry now for this summer, June will be 27 years, and I have seen a lot of messed up people in the Pentecostal and charismatic movement. I've seen a lot of people prophesying and saying it was the Holy Spirit when it wasn't the Holy Spirit. I've seen people miss God on things and think, you know, sincerely think that they were hearing from God or God had given them something and he really hadn't. But here's the thing, though. Just because maybe we've seen people mess up or miss it, or we've even had counterfeits and we've had deceivers and infiltrators come into the church and operate in the demonic or false, what we'd say divination or familiar spirits. Just because we've seen the counterfeit or we've had some messed up people come around us who claim to be prophetic or prophets doesn't mean we throw the baby out with the bathwater. Matter of fact, that's just laziness. To throw the baby out with the bathwater. It just means we don't want to. If we just say, I'm not going to deal with prophecy, I'm not going to deal with dreams and visions, I'm not going to deal with the gifts of the Spirit in my church services or my Bible studies or my Sunday school class or whatever, I'm not going to have that. Really what that is just fear, laziness, Pastors, if you're listening to me tonight and you don't encourage your people to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to prophesy, to learn to listen to the voice of God and to hear from God, if you're not encouraging them and teaching them and helping them grow in that, then you're really, really not doing what the Apostle Paul said to do. He said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 14, he said, I wish you all prophesy one by one. And he desired that. He said, you know, desire the gifts. As a matter of fact, there's the instruction in 1 Corinthians 14, let the prophet speak and let the others judge, meaning let it happen. Let the prophetic word come forth. Let the people tell their dreams. Let them tell what God is saying. If it's not from the Lord, if others around judge that it's not from the Lord or it's not according to the scriptures or they discern that there's a bad spirit there, well, then you correct that person and you say, hey, you know, it's time to maybe you need to stop this for a little while, get back in your prayer closet, get back in the Word of God, reading the scriptures, and get back into prayer and fasting. And don't discourage them, though. I think a lot of people have been shut down by their pastors. I mean, I can tell the story that my dad told. This is a true story because when I was a kid, we went to a Baptist church, a little Baptist church in the town where I grew up, and it was powerful. God used that little Baptist church. An evangelist came through there and preached for a whole week, and it took until about Thursday night, and the Holy Spirit convicted me. But my dad had gotten saved earlier in that church, and then I walked that aisle and had my first real powerful encounter with Jesus. As I walked that aisle to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I understood the gospel at 11 years old, and it was a powerful experience with the Lord. But later on, after I grew up and many things had happened, and I remember my dad, who had become, you know, he was a baby Christian. He was an on-fire believer. He was reading the scriptures. He was trying to get his life straightened out and walk with the Lord. And he's reading, and of course, like many who go to Baptist churches, Methodist churches, or, you know, churches who don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, the gift of prophecy, and things of that nature, of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit operating, you know, he made the mistake of just reading the book of Acts. And so after reading the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit stirred a hunger in him, telling him, you know what, there's more. There's more than just salvation. There's more than just going to church. There's more to this walk with God than just you know, sitting in a pew and listening to the preacher on Sunday morning or Wednesday night. There's a walk with God you can have where God speaks to you, where God is intimate with you, where God reveals things to you before they happen. And so my dad made this mistake of reading the book of Acts, and he went to the pastor of this Baptist church, and he loved this pastor. He wasn't against him. He wasn't trying to be divisive or difficult. He was just a baby Christian who read the book of Acts, and he went to the pastor with an excitement, with hunger in his heart for more of Jesus and more of the Holy Spirit in his life, and he said, "What is this? What do we do with this?" And that pastor told my dad to his face, we don't talk about that. Talking about Acts 2, Acts 10, Acts 19, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the gift of prophecy flowing in the church. And my dad, it so shut him down. It so discouraged him. It so defeated him because he didn't understand. He read the Bible, but now this pastor that he respected, that he looked up to, that he loved, that led him to Jesus. Now, not a bad man, but because of religion, because of false teaching and wrong teaching, wrong beliefs, whether it be the fear of man or whatever was in there to stop this pastor from pursuing what the Bible talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in other tongues, prophecy, dreams, visions, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, healing, casting out demons, you know, the things that the church of Jesus Christ is supposed to be doing, you know, it so defeated my dad that literally it didn't take long that until my dad backslid and fell away from God and got out of church and got back into all the sins that he had been in before. And it took many years. As a matter of fact, it was when I came back to the Lord after my teenage years and college years and drinking and all the things that I did running away from God. It took my dad seeing me come back, and then I was baptized in the Holy Spirit and with the gift and evidence of speaking in other tongues. Acts chapter 2 says it should be. And of course, Jesus said in Mark 16, these signs shall follow them that believe. And one of the things he said was they shall speak with new tongues. He didn't say some of them. And so when my dad saw the change in me, and boy, everybody knew that Dean had gotten right with God, because I completely changed how I was living, and I was on fire for God, praying and fasting, and I'd been baptized in the Holy Spirit before I ever saw my dad again. And so I shared that with him and immediately laid hands on my dad, prayed for him in the name of Jesus, prayed that he would be filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. It didn't even take 2 minutes, and the power of God came over him. And the Holy Spirit touched him in a powerful way. And he began just crying and shaking, and he began speaking in other tongues. And just from that point on, just the door was on. My dad rededicated his life to the Lord, and, doesn't deal with every issue we have, but he began to grow. He began to grow in discernment and his ability to flow in the other gifts of the Holy Spirit. And God really used my dad in a mighty way over the years to teach Sunday school classes and divorce recovery classes. And he's been a blessing to me and my brother and my sister, just praying for us and sharing things and being a confirmation at times to prophetic things that the Lord is saying. So I'm sharing that, a very personal story, to say it's time out there, church, it's time, pastors, to stop quenching the Holy Spirit because you're afraid or because you're trying to be seeker-sensitive and you're trying to build numbers instead of build the people you have in the power of God. It's time to change. And I don't care if you've been burned. I don't care if false prophets have come into your church and caused division and havoc. You're supposed to be a man of God. You're supposed to let the prophets speak. You're supposed to judge if they're of God or not. If they're not, then you drive them out. You drive the wolves out of the church. But the people who are real, the people who are sincere, you let them speak and you let them share and you let them flow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and people's lives will be touched and they will be changed. Now, on a different note, is like we're going to get into here in just a few minutes, with this young man, and let me just say, a lot of people think, well, who is this young man? Well, of course, he's working in a ministry down in Louisiana, and in his 20s. But see, here's the thing: we were talking on the telephone. I don't have to know him. I don't have to know a lot about him. As we were talking on the telephone, I sensed the Holy Spirit on what he was saying, what he was sharing. And immediately the Lord told me, you let this young man share his prophetic dreams and the things that God has given him, because God didn't give them to him for him to sit there and do nothing. So, and that's another thing of humility. It doesn't matter how long you've been saved, how much knowledge you have, how many degrees you have on the wall from Bible schools or whatever. Nothing wrong with those things, but God can speak through a child. He can speak through a donkey, as we saw in the Bible. If you're humble enough, you'll learn to hear God through a child, a teenager, a young man, a young minister, a minister maybe younger than you. You'll begin to, as a matter of fact, that we can see in the Bible where God spoke to Pharaoh through a dream, and God spoke to Nebuchadnezzar. Sometimes God will even speak to an unsaved person in a dream or a vision to speak to you. The thing about it is being in tune to hear God's voice, and that's very, very, very important. Jesus said this in John 10:27. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Now, what's interesting about that, when he said, my sheep hear my voice, the word hear there is a present tense Greek verb, which means it's ongoing, continuous action that's taking place in the present. So it's not something that happened in the past. It's not I heard his word. It's I am hearing his word now, and I'm continuing to hear his voice speak to me and lead me. Of course, in Romans 8, the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. We could just go down the list. I love John 16, where Jesus said, when he, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, when he has come, he will speak to you. He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of himself, but that which he speaks, he said he will glorify me. And he said he will show you things to come. So you think about that. That is what Jesus said would happen to the believer. I don't want any part of a Christianity that's dead, that tells me that Jesus quit speaking to people, God doesn't speak to people anymore, the Holy Spirit gifts are not for today, miracles don't happen anymore, we don't cast demons out of people. I don't want anything like that. Matter of fact, the Bible's very clear, 2 Timothy chapter 3, where he said that in the last days there would be perilous times. And then he said men would be lovers of themselves and boasters and proud and blasphemers and you know, all these things. He goes down. And then he said this in verse 5. He said, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Having a form, an outward form of Christianity, but denying the power, and that is dunamis power, of the Holy Spirit. So they reject the power of the Holy Spirit to speak to us, to give us a dream, to give us a vision, to give us a prophecy, to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to raise the dead, to do the works that Jesus has called us to do. They'll deny that, but they'll have a form of Christianity, but they'll deny that power of the Holy Spirit. And the scripture doesn't end there. It says, from such turn away. I mean, we have a scripture that says, walk out of these dead churches that quench the Holy Spirit, that despise prophesying, that teach the false doctrines that miracles cease and the gifts of the Holy Spirit cease, which are all nonsense. And here the scripture says, turn away from that. You should want and desire the gifts of the Holy Spirit flowing in your life. And a true fivefold minister, whether he is an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, or pastor, or teacher, and yes, I believe all five are still in operation today, fivefold ministers who are not afraid, who understand the gifts themselves, won't have a problem letting younger believers and people around them begin to step out and take those steps of faith. Remember the story, like Peter. Peter wanted to walk on the water. He wanted to do the miracle like Jesus was doing. Jesus was walking on the water, and Peter was in the boat with the other disciples, and he wanted to do it. He said, Lord, if it's you, invite me to come out there. I want to do this. And the Lord said, come on. And Peter had the faith to stand up and to take that step over the edge of that boat and step on the water and begin to walk on water, to do the same miracle, to see the same miraculous power in his life that Jesus was displaying. And, of course, when he got his eyes off Jesus, he began to sink. He got a little scary. Sometimes when you step out here, it gets a little difficult. The devil tries to stop people that are trying to step out in faith and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The devil's always going to try to stop you, because the most dangerous Christian is the Christian who hears the voice of God and is led by the Holy Spirit and has the power of the Holy Spirit. And the devil fears that. Satan fears it. He can't stand it. It makes him extremely, extremely nervous and afraid. So I just want to encourage people tonight. You know, the gifts of God, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are for us today. And, of course, I could go into that. And that's really, I really didn't plan on even saying any of this. I just felt the Holy Spirit come on me. That is for someone out there listening. Maybe it's a pastor and you're listening to me tonight and you know what I'm saying is true, but you've been afraid. You're worried you'll lose people, or you're worried you'll have some Fruit Loops and fruitcakes come into your church and cause problems. Well, I just want to say this. If you're looking to keep everything nice and neat and tidy, you know, you're just going to quench the Holy Spirit. And God wants you to man up and discern what is from him And if it's not, then you put a clamp down on what's not God, and you let the people who are flowing in the Holy Ghost, you let that flow, and God will bless. God will bless the service. I could just keep going on this. I mean, just there's been so many times. I had a woman one time. I allow tongues and interpretation to flow in our church service, and have for years when I pastored in Montgomery, Alabama, and now here in Auburn, and of course when I pastored in Washington, D.C. I've always wanted the gifts of the Holy Spirit to flow. And one time I had a woman come in, and she came in and she sat in the back, and she was a visitor, and I'd never seen her before and didn't know who she was. And so as I'm leading praise and worship, playing the guitar, I'm leading praise and worship, and the Lord speaks to me and he tells me, I'm going to give you a tongue and interpretation. He said it just plain as day. So as I was playing, I felt the Holy Spirit come on me, and all of a sudden this woman starts speaking out in tongues. And immediately I discern that it was not the Holy Spirit, that it was a counterfeit. It was a demonic spirit working through her. Well, I told her, I said, ma'am, very, very nicely in front of everybody, but I had the microphone. I'm up front. I said, ma'am, I said, that's not the Holy Spirit. That's not what he's saying to do right now, and that's not him, so you need to be quiet. Well, she kept going. Well, that let me know, because she had no respect for the spiritual authority in the church and me as the pastor. And so she just kept on speaking in tongues. And I said, ma'am, stop. You're out of order. And she kept on speaking in tongues. And then I said, ma'am, this is your last warning. Stop now. And I pointed to my ushers, and they began to move to remove her from the church service. Now, the presence of God was strong as we were in worship, and the gifts were about to flow. The gifts of the Holy Spirit were about to flow. And so I dealt with this problem. She began leaving. Of course, as she's going out the door, I believe she was a witch, because she, of course, turned and cursed me. And but she told me that the Holy Spirit was never out of order. And I said, well, you're not the Holy Spirit, ma'am. And so as the ushers helped her find the exit, we returned back, did another worship song. The presence of God was even stronger. God gave me a tongue, gave me an interpretation, a prophetic word. And, of course, later a girl got saved that was in there, because when she heard the tongues, the power of God hit her. And it's amazing that 1 Corinthians 14 says tongues is a sign for the unbeliever. And she was an unbeliever who had an alcohol problem. And when I spoke in tongues, the power of God hit her, and she came and gave her life to Jesus that morning. Now, see, you say, well, that makes no sense. Why would tongues, that's something she couldn't even understand, cause her to get saved? Listen, it's the Holy Spirit, folks. Letting the Holy Spirit do what he wants. He can do more in 1 minute than we can planning and manipulating and creating a seeker-sensitive service. He can do more in 1 minute, 1 second, than we can do in 10 years if we just let him be who he is. So having said that, and just lay the foundation, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back in just a minute, and we're going to talk about some very serious, and I'm going to say this, very sobering dreams and visions that people have sent me, people that I know love the Lord, that are strong Christians, spirit-filled Christians. But I've had people that's had dreams and visions from God that are Presbyterian and Baptist and Pentecostal and Assembly of God and Charismatic and from all different camps, but they seem to be saying very similar things and very pertinent things about what is about to come on America and the judgment of God and how Satan's going to move and work and do certain things. And also, you know, some prophetic words that God has given to me and to others about events that are going to happen in the weather and the environment and so on down the line. Of course, we saw some of that in January with the unprecedented winter weather that we had, record-breaking cold temperatures across the country. But anyway, we'll talk more about that in a minute. You're listening to Prophecy Quake. I'm Pastor Dean Odle, and I hope that you'll stay with us. And matter of fact, why don't you call somebody, Facebook somebody, to come back and join the discussion, because I think if you live in America, you need to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying, the warnings that are coming down for the United States. So Stay with us. We'll be right back. Okay, we're back. This is Prophecy Quake with Pastor Dean Odle, and I believe we have our guest, David Loy, on the line, so I'm going to bring David on right now. Brother, are you with us? Can you hear me?
Yes, I am. I'm right here.
All right. Good to have
you,
man.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Before we get into this tonight, I would like just share a little bit about, you know, your testimony, who you are. Maybe a little bit of how you came to the Lord, the ministries that you're working with or working in, and then we'll let you share the word that the Lord has given you, the dreams the Lord gave you.
Sure, I'd like to share a specific part of my testimony. When I was a young boy in church, I actually hated that my parents made me go to church. I thought there can't be a God. Just look how messed up this world is. Look how, you know, how the hypocrisy and just the condition of this world. How can there be a God and this world exists in this condition? And I was resistant. I was rebellious in my heart. I thought there just can't be a God. Just look how messed up the situation is. And I was at Sunday school one time in church, and we were taking communion, actually. And I remember just thinking to myself, you know what? Maybe if there's a God, he's worth it. And so I was opening my heart, probably for the first time, really, in my life. I stopped being rebellious. I stopped, you know, just pushing against the possibility. And so I remember praying for, like, the first time, God, be real to me. And right then and there, since I opened my heart, you know, that door was open. And I remember feeling the presence of God come on me for the first time, like a peace that surpasses understanding. And the ministry I'm involved in, we have teams that regularly go out to preach in New Orleans in the French Quarter on Bourbon Street. It's Raven Ministries, Restoring a Vision and Evangelizing Nations. And since about 20 years ago, Pastor Troy Bond, the head of the ministry, was coming out with just at one time it was his daughter and just others who had joined with them, originally from an associate pastor telling them about the conditions and what's going on during Mardi Gras, specifically in the French Quarter. And he was invited by this associate pastor to come down and preach. And he himself, you know, didn't want to come down here for any reason because of the situation, the condition. And it's the revelry, the debauchery, the drunkenness, all the things that happened down here. You know, why would you want to come down and see this if you're a believer? But as he came down here, seeing the multitudes, you know, he was moved with compassion for them. You know, that there's nobody down there or there's not – and there are not enough people down there who say that they are believers, who believe that they are walking in the light but are actually shining the light, who are standing in the gap with all this that is going on in the city. With so many people, the nations come down to New Orleans, the nations do. It's a tourist attraction. Bourbon Street, the French Quarter, it's a tourist attraction. And somebody should be there preaching to the nations, seeing the multitudes, being moved with compassion like Jesus was. And that's one ministry I'm involved with. It's a great opportunity. I was told that there are regularly about 50,000 people who pass by us on Bourbon Street on a Friday night.
Wow.
About 50,000 people. So it's about 50,000 opportunities that will walk right by you within maybe 20, 25 feet of the street, being about 20, 25 feet wide, who will just walk right past you, who you had the opportunity to share Jesus with, to preach the gospel, preach the message of the cross and repentance.
Right.
And it's actually a very wonderful ministry, you know. Jesus didn't come to for the righteous, but to draw men to repentance. You know, he came to seek and save that which is lost, you know. And that's why we're out there, because a lot of people will say, well, why would you come out here? Why would you have church out here? Well, we have church out there because we're supposed to be the light of the world. We're supposed to preach. We're supposed to go on the highways and byways and herald, preach, scream it from the rooftops. You know, what he whispers in our ear, we're supposed to speak it from the rooftops. And so that's why we go. That's why we're out there. We've seen powerful testimonies, lives changed, and the Holy Spirit moving right there. At the 500 block of Bourbon Street.
Amen. Yes, I've been there years ago. I can't remember the name of the ministry, but we went down there with a ministry that's up here, and I think I'm thinking back, it was 1990, 1991, somewhere in that time period. Went to preach on the streets during Mardi Gras, and it was a powerful time. As a matter of fact, I think we stayed in the Elysian Fields Assembly of God. And it was a ministry out of Chicago, I think, that we were working with. But, you know, we saw, you know, it's important to preach the gospel. You know, I've gone to the streets in different places, too, my whole life of doing this. And Bourbon Street is a rough place. I know that for a fact. New Orleans itself, just a rough place to try to preach. But one thing that I appreciate what you were talking about, that it's good to have It's fine to have people come and minister for a while and then go back to wherever they're from, but you need people that are going to stay, and that, you know, people in the area can go, you know, I see them out here and they're right down the road and they're here. They're here for us. So that's awesome, brother.
Yes. Yeah. It is. I believe that. I believe that there needs to be people who are regulars that stay there, that can be that example also for those that would come in town and disciple. And it's a good opportunity to engage in that kind of ministry, to prepare yourselves better for other situations, other circumstances, for going back home, other places that, you know, where people live, because it really is. And I'm not really going to say that it's much more difficult than any other situation. Personally, I don't feel that way, you know, and I could say there's many reasons why, such as preparing ourselves in prayer and seeking the Lord, you know, but it's really not any different. As long as you're in that place, you know, where God is and where He's moving, then the Spirit of God will rise up within you and He'll move you. You know, there's really not one place to me that's more difficult than another, as long as I'm walking by the Spirit and moving by the Spirit, you know.
Right. And, you know, being where God called you to be, that's very important. You know, Jonah tried to run away and where he thought would be safe became dangerous. So, you know, it's just important to do the will of God, to hear His voice and go do it. But, brother, I want you to just share your dreams that God's given you. I know the Lord gave you one that came to pass to kind of get your attention, that He wanted to start using you in this, and then He's given you another one that has not yet come to pass, but I think needs to be shared as a warning for the United States. So go right ahead, brother, and share those prophetic dreams the Lord's given you.
Okay, absolutely. Yes. I made the mistake of not recording the date. It was the first dream I had of this nature. I did believe it. I did recognize it was from God. It was very specific. It was very real. But I didn't have any understanding of what to do with it, nor do I feel that I was being led to. But I believe, like you said, God was preparing me for the opportunity or preparing me for that purpose to be used like this. And it was late 2009 or early 2010. I had a dream in which I was sitting in my living room, and I was just watching the news. And there was a map, like a radar image of Japan. And off the northeast of Japan, there was a red dot. And the number is 8.6. And I remember turning to my right in the dream and seeing my mom in the kitchen. She was getting ready for work. She's a nurse. And telling her, hey, mom, there was an earthquake in Japan. and she was just surprised about it. And that was the end of the dream. And one thing I noticed interesting about this is I did some research, you know, about earthquakes and things like that after I had the dream, even before this was fulfilled. And one of the things I noticed was that that area right there off the northeast of Japan, off of Honshu, Japan, is actually not expected to or not believed to be an area where an earthquake of that magnitude could happen. It was a frequent area for earthquakes, but not that of a megathrust size. They were actually more of expecting an earthquake closer to Tokyo, more inland. And so it was interesting that the prophets of God are receiving revelations of this, but even the scientists and you know, those who are knowledgeable in the things of this world cannot possibly have perceived this coming. You know, but of course it was fulfilled in March 11, 2011. I remember watching it on TV pretty much the same way at home. And
Wow, that's cool. Go ahead.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so August 20th, 2011, I had a dream about a hurricane, and it was interesting because it was actually within 24 hours of Hurricane Irene forming, which is, you know, the hurricane that hit New York City that year. But it wasn't about Hurricane Irene. It was before Hurricane Irene formed. It was that night or that morning in which first I had seen this large red intense radar image in open water of a hurricane. It had a very well-defined eye. I just knew it was large. And it was red. It was intense, meaning that it has lots of moisture, lots of precipitation. And there were three things that I felt in my spirit about this hurricane. The first thing is that it's called or named White. White meaning clean. kind of like how in Revelation 7:14, it talks about those who came out of the great tribulation who have had their robes washed in the blood of the Lamb, and they were made white and clean. And the interpretation of this that the Lord had given me through prayer and seeking Him about these things, meditating on these things, is that there will be a type of cleansing that the storm will bring when it hits. And it won't be like this cleansing of the spiritual airways or anything like that. And, you know, some people might think like that. But it's actually that it's going to be preparing the way for a move of God through people who are going to be preaching the word, ministering the gospel, during the relief efforts, you know, afterwards, and possibly even during that time in different ways. And the second thing that the Lord had put in my spirit was that it's a Category 6 and potentially a Category 7. And you might think, well, hey, the scale doesn't go that high. Will they raise the scale? Well, what God had revealed to me about that is that it simply means that it's record-breaking, that they could possibly raise the scale, but what He revealed to me is that it's record-breaking, and so much so that they could even have raised the scale to 7. Whether or not they do so, I don't know.
Right.
And the third thing is that it will change or destroy 7 states, meaning that it will bring great change and destruction to 7 states that it impacts. And please stop me, brother, if there's anything that you want to clarify, make clear, if you want to ask me a question about anything.
Okay, no problem. You know, I was just thinking about, you know, I was actually on the coast the Saturday that Katrina began to blow in. Of course, it blew in the next day fully, but I remember the wind starting to blow, and I was working down there in Biloxi area, and I was getting ready to go back to Montgomery. And I remember, of course, the impact of when, you know, I was very familiar with the coast down there from New Orleans all the way across to, you know, Gulf Shores and Panama City and Pensacola and Biloxi and Gulfport and Pascagoula. I worked all in that area. And it was when I went back after Katrina, I mean, you want to talk about changing a couple of states. I mean, Mississippi and Louisiana were completely changed. The coast didn't even look the same, especially in Gulfport and Biloxi. I mean, it's just wiped out, just gone. And, of course, we know the toll it took on New Orleans. Brother, I hear what you're saying. You know, we have to understand a hurricane of that magnitude, a 5, a 6, a big hurricane can devastate not just one state, but several states. So what I'm saying is it's not far-fetched. And something I wanted to share, too, and this is another reason I felt like I should have you on to share and to give this warning out there, this prophetic warning, is because of the word the Lord gave me for the year of 2014 on December 31st, 2013. I was praying that night before the new year came in, and the Lord spoke this very clearly to me. He spoke the word unprecedented. And then as I knelt down on my knees and began to pray, it came again unprecedented. And the Lord just, he just impressed it on me that it would be on all levels. And God revealed that there would be unprecedented events in our military, our economy, our environment. And I knew that environment meant weather. I knew it meant storms and things of that nature. I knew also there's other things that are going to happen. He told me warfare and unprecedented terrorist attacks and that. But he also told me, and this is why I know that your word is from the Lord, there's this confirmation, but that he said there will be an unprecedented events in the lives of Christians, great things, powerful things, that great miracles would begin to happen in the lives of Christians that have never even seen miracles in their lives. And the Lord spoke to me that some of us would even raise the dead in the name of Jesus and see things that are just going to blow people's minds. So I just wanted to share that because it's a confirmation to me, because it's not just gloom and doom. It's that God is going to let some judgment fall upon America, but judgment that falls upon America, I think, and I believe this in my heart, I believe it's going to wake a lot of people up who've been on the fence, a lot of Christians who have fallen away, a lot of Christians who are lukewarm, a lot of people who have been thinking about giving their life to the Lord, but they're still holding on to something in the world. And I think that these things that begin to happen in the United States, even though they're judgments, even though they're wrath and some destruction, they're to get our attention. And I believe there's going to be a great revival that results in the judgment of God, and even God just moving his hand back and the devil attacking and these tragedies happening. I think of the verse, all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. So I just had to throw that in there because it rings so true to me. And
amen, yeah.
So, that's that part of that I said earlier in the introduction, let the prophet speak and let the others judge. And so that's why I wanted to let you speak. And I'm just saying, as another minister of the gospel, and I'm not ashamed to say called to be a prophet, that I can say that I discern your word is from the Lord, brother. So those of you listening out there tonight and those who will be listening to the archive broadcast, just take heed that it's time to really get on your face and pray for America, to pray for people, to pray for souls, to pray for your family, to pray for God's mercy in the midst of wrath and judgment like we've never prayed before, because we need it.
Amen, amen. Yeah, these things are definitely a refining of the church in America specifically, a refining fire that we're passing through these tribulations, causing us to have to hold on more to the fidelity of the Word of God, to the standard of truth as presented in the Word of God, and I believe removing and burning out all this chaff of these different doctrines, these different things that really keep us from moving forward in faith after the Lord, and also a call to repentance, of course, for those that are not serving the Lord, and for those that believe they are but really aren't in the first place. Those that are not standing on the solid foundation of Christ. Jesus said, don't just be a hearer of my word, but be a doer also. And he said, if you're just a hearer, not a doer, you're a foolish person who builds his house on the sand. And when the waves come, when the wind comes, the house falls, and great is its fall. But if you hear my word and a doer of my word, you're a wise person and builds his house on the rock. So when these things come, if you are somebody that are just hearing the word, you're just going to church on Sunday, you're just part of the American Christianity, then you're not going to be able to handle this storm that's coming, these things that are coming. You're going to fall apart. It's not going to be the same as those who are standing strong on the Word of God, who even being in the place of this tribulation, being in a sense the eye of the storm, who are going to be stable, the stability that they're going to have, compared to those who are just being hearers and not doers, yet are far away from these things, the destruction that's coming. They will be standing on much more firm ground, and they will be able to go through things much better than those who really have added these different false doctrines to their faith, their belief. And so I guess I want to get back to this dream before we go too far off. But
yeah, go ahead.
The next part of it was after seeing this picture of this hurricane and feeling these three things about this hurricane, I saw a Bible with the pages being flipped. And on each of the pages was the title white. And what the Lord revealed to me about that is that this is his word, and it will happen just as he said it would. That just like the word in the scripture, the prophetic word in the scripture is fulfilled exactly as it says, this word will also be fulfilled exactly as he said. And that was actually only the first dream of this. I had the second dream just the next day. Just the next night, in which I saw at first there was a yellow squiggly line moving generally from southwest to northeast, just barely moving from southwest to northeast, and I just felt that this was the path of the storm, and then after that I saw the eastern half of the United States, and I could see that there was a hurricane in the Gulf. Generally moving from the direction of Florida, either going through Florida or south of Florida, I do not know, but it was moving from the direction of Florida, and there was a yellow dot in the panhandle of Florida, and that was the end of the dream. And what the Lord had revealed to me about that is that this storm will enter the Gulf of Mexico, and that it will make landfall on the panhandle of Florida, and that it will generally move from southwest to northeast along the eastern seaboard. And the reason why the line was squiggly is because the just the breadth of this hurricane, the length and the width of this hurricane will cover that distance of the line, the squiggly line, as it moves along the eastern seaboard, the eastern most states. It will cover several states as it passes over, just the past as many hurricanes take, coming into the Gulf of Mexico and then going in the opposite direction and becoming extratropical. This storm will do that.
Right.
And that's it for these dreams from the Lord. And we definitely have to stand firm on the word of God and hear the words of the prophets. And sure, don't just take whatever they say, but seek the Lord on these things. Pray, seek the Lord. Ask God, what can I do with these things? Lord, do you want me to remain here if this happens and stay and minister the word? Will you protect me through this? And surely, if the Lord says yes, then He would protect you through it. Like I remember Hurricane Isaac came through a few years ago. I was talking with a pastor friend of mine, and he said how we would always just leave whenever a hurricane came. We had no reason to stay. You know, we didn't want to watch the show of it or anything. We just wanted to leave and take a little bit of a vacation. But he talked about how it was just such a ministry opportunity to stay and to remain, and that we can, you know, trust in the Lord to protect us through these things. And that's the truth. What we can do is get on our faces before the Lord and ask Him, Lord, what can I do through this event? Should I remain here or should I leave? You know, instead of just hearing these words of prophecies and just thinking whatever we want to think about it and saying, okay, well, they spoke a warning, so I'm going to leave or anything like that, we can ask the Lord about these things and see what opportunities there are to minister the word, to preach the gospel through these events. You know,
right.
This hurricane comes, we can trust in God that, you know, the wicked will be taken away, but the righteous will remain. And being righteous, standing on the word of God, knowing what He says about these things and what He tells us to do, if God speaks to remain, then remain, stay there and take that opportunity to minister the word. And being in position, not having to try to come into the states, if you're already in these states that will be affected because of evacuating, but just remaining there and preaching the word after the disaster and through the disaster. And
right.
I believe it is an opportunity for the word of God and for the message of repentance to be preached.
Amen. That's something that I think we, you know, I think as Christians, because, and I'm just going to be bold enough to say it, and I don't even know what you believe, brother, but I mean, there's nothing hidden about what I believe about the pre-tribulation rapture, and I don't believe that the rapture is going to take place before the tribulation period, before the last 7 years. I just don't believe that's biblical at all. And, you know, but this mentality that, and it's particularly in Americans, that we're going to escape, that, you know, it's, you know, or if something bad happens, we run. I mean, that's not necessarily always what you do. You pray and you believe God to, you know, God may say stay. God may say stay right here. I'll be your refuge. I'll be your shield and your fortress. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. And when the storm blows through and blows over and you're still standing, then you're there to be a light, to be a witness. And not just that, you know, if you know something ahead of time, you know, if Hebrews 11 says that Noah, being warned of God, right, of things to
yes.
come, built an ark to save his family, right? Of course, in obedience to God, but what we see there is he was warned of God, and God showed him what preparation to make that would bless his family and save people around him. So
Amen.
That's what we need to be thinking. Sometimes it might just be having some extra water in your house, or having some extra food in your house, or, you know, being ready with, you know, if it's a snowstorm, you got some chains ready to put on your tires when other people don't have, they're not ready for that. You know, maybe, you know, with a hurricane, there's going to be water flooding or water contamination, and maybe there's not going to be drinking water, and you have some way to purify water. Something simple that can help people. And then they can say, how did you know? Why? How did you have this? How are you ready for this? And then you can say, the Lord showed me. The Lord God warned me. Jesus warned me and told me to have this stuff ready to help you. And what a witness, you know?
Amen, yeah. Yeah, that's the difference, our faith in Jesus, the Word of God. Absolutely. Yeah, we're not appointed to wrath, but, you know, just like just the Israelites being in the land of Egypt when the famine came, when the plagues were poured out, and they were not affected by these plagues, in the same way, being in these afflicted areas, when God pours out his wrath, we can trust that if we're standing on his word, that these things will not harm us. They'll affect those around us, but that's more of an opportunity for us to show them the God that we serve.
Right. That's what Isaiah 26, I believe it's verse 9, verse 10, and it's true, but it says, when the judgments of the Lord are in the earth, the people learn righteousness. It's something about when God stays silent, people think that he's okay with how they're living or what they're doing or the status quo. And so when the Lord finally begins to move and begins to shake things up and take his hand of protection off and let things happen, and when he lets the devil attack us like he did Job, or like he let the devil sift Peter and he takes his hand back, it's to get our attention. It's time to wake up. It's time to learn righteousness. It's time to let go of some idols, to let go of some sin, to let go of your own self-made plans, which are just as evil as any sin, and say, you know what, God, forgive me. I've been doing my own thing. I've been going my own way. I've had my own beliefs. I've neglected your word. I've neglected prayer. I've neglected intimacy with Jesus. I've neglected trying to help other people. I've been focused all on myself. And, you know, this shaking that's coming, I believe this in all my heart. It's not out of God's, as much out of God's anger. Now, he is angry about some things that are going on in this world. I just read some articles recently of how bad the child sexual abuse is going on, and the sex trafficking, and how bad that is. And I know God is angry at such evil and wickedness, but we remember that his love is great. And, you know, a father, the Bible teaches even, that a father that loves his children will discipline and correct them and not spare the rod, meaning he will, you know, inflict a little pain, not to destroy, but to correct bad behavior, to correct, this not paying attention to him, to God. So
that's right.
There's some, definitely some chastening and some correction coming. And the Lord, I remember years ago, you can watch certain things that happen in the world, and then boom, some event. Sometimes it's an outbreak of tornadoes. Sometimes it is a massive hurricane. We've seen in years, you know, the book, The Harbinger, and some others had talked about this even before The Harbinger came out, of how when the United States would get involved with pushing Israel to do something that God didn't want them to do, how when certain events would take place, we would get hit with something. And
sure.
So God will bring discipline, or he'll step back and he'll tell Satan, you can go do this, but you can't do this and this and this. So, brother, I believe very clearly that the Lord has shown you that this storm is going to be some chastening. I'm going to bring up one that Pastor John Kilpatrick had, you know, not too long ago. Well, I guess it's been a few years now, but he shared, and he shared this publicly many times, but that the Lord showed him of an earthquake happening that would cause the Mississippi River to overflow its banks and be a great tragedy and a great, I guess you would say, what am I looking for? Just a natural disaster. But that it would be him trying to get our attention again. So God is speaking through a lot of pastors. He's speaking through a lot of Christians, a lot of ministers. He's speaking. Pastor Randy Valamont, my brother's pastor over in the McDonough, Griffin area in Georgia over there, he pastors First Assembly of God in Griffin, Georgia, and God gave him a warning of a massive terrorist event that's going to take place in America. And that is going to shake America to its core. So we're going to come back in just a minute. We're going to take a break, and we're going to talk about these things. But you're listening to Prophecy Quake with Pastor Dean Odle and our special guests from down in New Orleans, Louisiana, David Loy, and he's sharing his dreams and visions from the Lord and warnings of a massive hurricane that's going to devastate and affect at least seven states in the United States. So listen, folks, it's time for us to wake up. It's time for us to pray. We need to get these things right as quickly as possible and be in that place where God is our refuge and our fortress and where we're prepared to be a light. You stay with us. We'll be back in just a minute.
Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio. Wake on Blog Talk Radio.
Again, you're listening to Prophecy Quake. I'm Pastor Dean Odle here in the Auburn, Opelika area in East Alabama. We're joined with our guest from New Orleans, Louisiana, David Loy, who's been sharing the gospel with us, really sharing his testimony, sharing some things that he believes that the Lord's about to do with a massive hurricane that's coming. And David, are you still with us? Just making sure that you're there after the break. Okay. Something that I want to share just briefly, a passage, because many people who are listening already know. Maybe we have some new listeners tonight in different places, but back several years ago, the Lord gave me, and he gives me prophetic dreams, not all the time, but here and there, and over the last few years, he's given me several. And one had to do with a nuclear attack, some type of massive explosion and attack that destroyed a city on the East Coast. And in the dream, I felt like that it was some type of nuclear attack and some type of either terrorist attack or possibly an attack from Russia, which I think is definitely on the horizon for the United States. A lot of people in their hearts and minds is like, oh, it'll never happen, it'll never happen. But I hate to say that I know from the Holy Spirit that it's coming. But in the dream, of course, it was part of it was that I had some, in the dream, I had some type of job with the government. And my job was basically to contact the president, President Obama, and to discuss our response to our enemies in that particular attack. And in the dream, I knew that if we didn't respond, if we didn't do something, that it was going to get worse and be much more devastating. And so in the dream, I called Obama on the phone, and of course, when I started asking what would our response be, he wouldn't answer me. So I thought the phones went out, or the radio. I couldn't remember if it was a phone or radio that I was talking to him, but I knew where he was, and it was near. And so I ran to the building where he was, and it was like a cafeteria. And he was sitting at a round table with a bunch of people eating, and there were tables all over the place, and there was a little, like a rope barrier. And I was probably only about 10 to 15 feet away from him, and he was eating. And I kept saying, President Obama, what is your response? What will you do? And he wouldn't even look up and acknowledge me, and I got louder and louder. And it was then that I realized that he wasn't going to do anything, and that he was even complicit in the attack. He was part of it, and that he wasn't going to do a thing to defend the United States, that he wanted the United States to fall apart. And there were some other aspects to the dream, but after that I knew we were in trouble. And then within a year, I had another dream that I knew was from the Lord. I was driving on Interstate 85 from Auburn toward Montgomery, Alabama, which is, of course, the capital of Alabama, and I was heading down that road. And as I was driving down the road, I said in my mind, I bet I see a mushroom cloud. And the moment I thought that, there was a huge flash off in the distance, and a huge mushroom cloud began ascending in the air. And I remember everyone on the interstate coming to a stop and just sitting there. And I remember it was so vivid because I pulled out my iPhone to take a picture. There was no fear. to take a picture to prove what I had just seen. And I said in the dream, I said, it has begun. And instead of going on to Montgomery, I turned my car around to drive back. And the Lord spoke to me very clearly that because I had two dreams within 7 or 8 months of each other, he said those two dreams establish it and that it will come to pass. And I want to read this. This was just the other day because I've been sharing a lot about end-time Bible prophecy for the last few years. I've been attacked. And here's the thing, that sometimes you don't get attacked by other preachers and Christians. They just shun you. You know, they just vanish, you know, because it's like you're just a little too heavy for them. But this is a passage of Scripture last Wednesday night in our Wednesday night prayer, and I just felt very strongly that I should share this. But it's from Ezekiel 12. As a matter of fact, the Lord had been whispering Ezekiel 12 to me over like a week, Ezekiel 12. And, you know, I was just – it was so subtle, it was so gentle that I almost missed it. And so we were praying kind of, as a church, as a group, and the Lord just spoke it very loudly. He said, Ezekiel 12 is for now. And so I turned to Ezekiel 12, and it's when I got down, and of course the whole chapter, of course, the first part of it is specifically applying to Israel when they were going to be judged for the Babylonian captivity. When the Babylonians were coming in to judge them, God was using them to judge Israel. But, of course, the Lord is saying these things apply to the United States of America now. And so the part that I'm going to read, this is Ezekiel chapter 12, and we're going to start reading at verse 17, and this is what he spoke to me very clearly, even about the prophetic things that I've been warning people about. And of course, my wife, and let me say this, my wife had a dream, and I'll have to go here and look. She sent it to me. My wife emails me, so I'll have these things. But my wife had a dream that I think applies to this situation. But let me go back here. I have to go back to where it is. This was on August 7th of 2012, and they were tornado sirens. She calls it the tornado sirens dream. She said, we heard the tornado sirens go off, but they were louder than the normal one that they do every Wednesday at noon to test it. And around here every Wednesday at noon we get a tornado warning test. And she said, Dean was warning that it was a tornado, but people weren't listening. She says, I woke up at 6:11 and checked my phone for a weather report or alert text because it was so real. And she just felt that the Lord wanted her to look up. And so she looked up, looked in Ezekiel 6, and she looked down in Ezekiel 6:11, which was the exact time she woke up. And the Lord just really spoke this, said, thus saith the Lord, this is Ezekiel 6:11, thus saith the Lord God, smite with thine hand and stamp with thy foot and say, alas for all the evil abominations of the house of Israel, for they shall fall by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. And so in this dream, the Lord confirmed to her both that people aren't really paying attention, they aren't listening for the most part, and that, you know, they try to dismiss prophets and prophecy is gloom and doom, or those guys are just obsessed with, you know, the end of the world, or, you know, people try to make up their excuses, you know, for all kinds of stuff that, you know, to make them, you know, their fear or their doubt easier to deal with. I don't know, but I'm going to go back to Ezekiel 12, and this is what the Lord spoke to my heart about many of these prophecies, like you said it a minute ago, and this is what triggered it, David. You said that the Lord really emphasized to you that this was his word and that it would come to pass. And this is what the Lord said to Ezekiel, but he told me this is for us, for the United States now, and for prophets. And listen, I had already been doing this, and I'll explain in a second, but he says, moreover, It's Ezekiel 12:17. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, eat thy bread with quaking, and drink thy water with trembling and with carefulness. And say unto the people of the land, Thus saith the Lord God, Jehovah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the land of Israel, and we could put in here to America, they shall eat their bread with carefulness and drink their water with astonishment, that her land may be desolate from all that is therein because of the violence of all them that dwell therein. And the cities that are inhabited shall be laid waste, and the land shall be desolate. And here's the kicker, why? And he says, And ye shall know that I am the Lord. And the word of the Lord came unto me, and came unto me, saying, Son of man, what is that proverb that ye have in the land of Israel, saying, The days are prolonged, and every vision faileth? Tell them therefore, Thus saith the Lord God, I will make this proverb to cease, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel, in America. But say unto them, The days are at hand, and the effect of every vision. For there shall be no more any vain vision, nor flattering divination within the house of Israel. The days of your best life now, messages are over. For I am the Lord, this is verse 25, For I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged, for in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word and will perform it, saith the Lord. And again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say, The vision that he sees is for many days to come. He prophesies of times that are far off. Therefore say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, There shall none of my words be prolonged any more, but the word that I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord God. So I have this just weighing on me that these days are drawing very near, that our time of tranquility, our time of peace, our time of enjoying the irresponsibility of our in-debt nation. Right now we're in the we're polishing the brass on a sinking ship, and soon there's going to be the events that begin to rock America and Americans out of their slumber. Yeah.
You actually,
in fact, go ahead.
I'm sorry, you're actually making me think about another dream I'd had years ago. I considered it more personal, but I do believe, looking at this at Ezekiel 12, it is fitting to say this. In this dream, I was talking to a young lady, and we were outside, and it was kind of evening time seeming, and I don't know what I was telling her, but then there was this thundering, this voice of the Almighty, like rushing, roaring waters, who continued what I was saying. God was speaking out loud everywhere it could be heard, and he was continuing what I was saying. And he said, and the skies will burn with fire and rain down upon the earth. And I remember just looking around, and that she was staring at me. She said, and she asked me, you know, what was that? Where did it come from? And I was surprised myself. I didn't really give a response. But then we both looked up at the sky, and we both saw the fulfillment of this word. The skies, they did burn with fire, and then the dream did end right there. And so just talking about that and talking about these dreams and these visions and the naysayers saying that, you know, we've always heard these things. You know, we've always heard about the coming of the Lord. We've always heard that this will happen, but it hasn't happened yet. You know, God has revealed to me through this dream that I'm going to speak these things, and that these words will come forth. And just as they heard, they will be seen, and they will come to pass by those who hear it and by those who speak it altogether.
Right.
So I do believe that.
Yeah, go. Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, yeah, you go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was just thinking that, you know, what is amazing, people think, you know, that scripture, of course, in 2 Peter, he said, know this in the last days, you know, scoffers will come, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. And then he says, for this they are willingly ignorant. And that's really the fact, because things have not continued as they were. I mean, I look at amazing fulfillments of Bible prophecy, like, you know, Isaiah 11, when Isaiah prophesied that Israel would come back to the land and become a nation, an ensign, which is means a signal, and become a nation with a flag again, that it would become a nation again the second time. And when that would happen, it would be a sign to the world. Well, he wrote that down in 750 or so B.C. Of course, they went into Babylonian captivity about 150 years later. And then, of course, God brought them back to the land in 536 B.C. And then, of course, they were in the land until 70 A.D. when Titus came in and destroyed the temple, and the Jews were scattered to the nations of the world for the next 1,878 years. But we have this prophecy in Isaiah. We have a prophecy in Ezekiel that in the latter times, Israel would be brought back to the land. So in 1948, May of 1948, Israel became a nation again against all odds. And then they were attacked by all their Arab neighbors, and somehow by the mercy of God, by God's providence, and the fact that he wanted them there to fulfill this prophecy and to begin to fulfill the end time, word that's in, you know, the end time scriptures, he helped them defeat those Arab armies, those Arab invaders, and of course ended up signing a ceasefire, an armistice in 1949. But one of the greatest fulfillments of Bible prophecy wasn't that long ago. And then we know they had to have Jerusalem as their capital, because it says Jerusalem would be surrounded by enemies. Well, if the enemy had Jerusalem, why would they need to surround it? So it means that the Jews would have to take back Jerusalem before many of the end time prophecies could come to pass. And that happened in 1967. And I can go just keep going down the list of things like that. And really, so it's just out of ignorance when people say, oh, nothing has changed. You know, we've heard these people talk about end-time Bible prophecy, but what they don't realize is that people got focused on, oh, Jesus coming back, which is the good news of end-time Bible prophecy, but a lot of things has to happen first before that. And I think we made the mistake of preaching, oh, Jesus is coming, when we should have been saying, no, trials and tribulation and persecution and judgments and pestilences and earthquakes and megaquakes and tsunamis and floods and all these things that the Bible talked about would increase, and these things will happen before the coming of Jesus. And again, I think we've gotten it a little bit backwards. But you know, that's just out of ignorance, because God's word has been being fulfilled. I mean, even a simple one, you know, a lot of people miss this little caveat here to end time Bible prophecy. Let's look at one of the biggest ones, right? Revelation 13. Revelation 13 says that basically the nations of the world will unite into a beast that's seven heads, 10 horns, and it's a bear, and it's a leopard, and it's a lion, and it's this. So it shows that the nations are going to unite. Then it says a man's going to come up to make war with the saints, and then another man's going to help him, and it says that they're going to cause everyone, small, great, rich, and poor, receive a mark in their right hand or their forehead, and without that mark, they will not be able to buy or sell. No one. It says on the face of the whole earth, every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation. So we have a prophecy that said that something could be implanted in your hand or your body somewhere that would control buying and selling of every person on the planet. That could not have happened until, number one, satellites, the computer chip, and the internet. And now, of course, very small chips called RFID chips that can be implanted in the skin, scanned by computers, scanned by satellites and all these things, the technology didn't even come into play. All that was needed to do that until now. So we can't say everything's the same as it was. No, it wasn't. It's not. It's happening right in front of us. And it's our job, Christians' job, pastors, prophets, evangelists, teachers, apostles, just servants, deacons, elders, whatever we are in the body of Christ, to use this truth to wake people up and lead them to Jesus before he returns. Amen?
Amen, yeah, that's right, that's right. Will they see the signs and the seasons? Will they miss the evidences that are out there? Or they continue to go on like things always have been the same? Will they see, you know, the great tree, you know, budding? Will they see the fruit of the time that we're in? It's definitely the hardening of their hearts, you know, in this time that we're in right now. Just resisting the obvious signs that right now, a fulfillment of biblical prophecy. It's definitely just showing, you know, the world is waxing worse. That so many would, knowledge abounding in these last days, so many would see the conditions of the world today and still try to, you know, discredit the Word of God based on what the conditions are, even though the Bible said that, you know, these things would happen, these things would come to pass. You know.
Right. Right. Very much so. I'll be honest. The Bible shows like prophets like Jeremiah, even Elijah, even John the Baptist went through periods where what they knew and what they were going through and what they saw was so overwhelming at times that even sorrow and sadness would sink in and hit them. I mean, Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet. I mean, it's not because, you know, he had a tear duct problem. He was overwhelmed his entire life from a teenager at what he knew was coming upon his own people. And he tried to warn them, and he tried to encourage them to turn away from their idols and turn away from their pagan compromises and their sin and to really turn to the Lord, and the priest wouldn't listen, and other prophets wouldn't listen, and elders of Israel wouldn't listen to him. And sometimes, I mean, he even said, you can go back and you can read Jeremiah 15, Jeremiah 20. There were times he said he wished he had never been born. He said there were times he said, I will not speak anymore in his name. Some people think that, you know, people get into prophecy or they get into these things for sensationalism or hype or whatever. And, of course, that may be the case for some people. But for me, there are times that it is overwhelming because I don't want these things to happen. I don't want a massive hurricane to destroy and states and devastate, and I don't want Russia to attack the United States. I don't want Middle Eastern terrorists creeping over the Mexican border and getting ready to terror attack us everywhere. I don't want those things. I have a family. I have a wife. I have children. I don't want war. I don't want destruction. I don't want death. I don't want famine. A lot of people think prophets and prophetic people, they get their jollies off of, you know, scaring people. But it's a tough job. What's that?
It's burdening. It really is. Carrying the oracles of God, you know, the heart of God concerning a nation, that's a burden. It's a weight. You know, it really is. You know, I had told you one of the things that God had spoke to me about the hurricane, and I didn't mention it, and I want to mention it. I did ask the Lord, what is the reason why this is going to happen? And I remember opening my Bible and just seeing the scripture, Hosea chapter 12, verse 2. It says, the Lord has a controversy with Judah, He will punish Jacob according to his ways, and according to his deeds, he will recompense him. He will recompense Israel. And that's really what it is. He has a controversy against this nation, just as it was with Israel, it's with the United States today. And it's because of the sins, because of ungodliness, because of unbelief. And personally, even if I wanted to, escape speaking about this, personally, there was no way to do that. And I never did want to escape it. I desired to please God to obey and do that and to speak about this. But, I mean, like I told you, there were times where I just opened my Bible during church and I turned right here, Hosea chapter 12, verse 2. And even recently, in the last few weeks, after just getting a new Bible, a brand new Bible, I'd opened up and even put my finger down on the page without looking, and my finger on Hosea chapter 12, verse 2. I have a charge against Judah. I'll punish Jacob according to his ways. I will repay Israel according to his deeds. And that's what the Lord is speaking. He will repay them according to his ways and their deeds. God is not mocked. What a man soweth, that shall he also reap.
Yeah. Well, Jesus, of course, said he approached Jerusalem at one point and wept over it. And they were just looking at him, and he said, "Behold, your house is left unto you desolate." And he said, "Because you did not recognize the hour of your visitation." And he was telling them, "You didn't recognize that I was your Messiah, that I came to save you, that I came to heal you, that I came to teach you the truth, the way. You didn't recognize your own Messiah that your scriptures revealed. And so now there's nothing left. Once you reject the Savior, once you reject the Messiah, once you reject Jesus, his grace, his love, the blood, you need to do to follow him, once you reject that, there's nothing left. I heard this preacher the other day put it this way. He goes, a lot of people get all bent out of shape when you say, Jesus is the only way to heaven. But the fact of the matter is that it's not that Jesus just made it like I'm the only way to heaven. He just said, hey, no one else is coming for you. No one else. I came. I died on a cross for your sin. I rose from the dead to prove who I am. I've given you a book full of prophecies that are coming to pass to prove that I am the Creator. I am the way. No one else is coming to save you. So if you reject the only one who can save you, the only one who's proven that he can save you, what do you have left? Yourself. Evil men and women around you who are trying to do things in their own wisdom and their own strength and with their evil nature, and then, of course, Satan and the fallen angels and all of that. I mean, that's all that's left. And so America has said no to Jesus. We don't want you. We don't want you as our Savior, as our Messiah. So there's nothing left. There's no one. That's why the Antichrist, the world government, the evil people will take over, promising to be saviors. And people will buy it because they have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. They've rejected the only true Messiah who can truly save spirit, soul, and body. The only Messiah who can save us from our evil nature, and the only Messiah who can save us from being damned to hell for eternity by that evil nature. That's why I love what Peter said when Jesus came and spoke in John 6, and he spoke to the people, and it said many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him, and he turned to the 12 and he said, "Will you also go away?" Peter said, "Where will we go? You have the words of eternal life." There's nowhere else to go. Muhammad didn't rise from the dead. He didn't die for sin. Muhammad wasn't God in the flesh. There's no prophecies of Muhammad coming before Muhammad came. Buddha didn't even claim to be a savior. Buddha didn't rise from the dead. Krishna, Shiva, none of them. Jesus Christ proved He was the promised Messiah of the Creator. And if we walk away from him, there is no one else to save us. It's that simple. And America has done it. And I just pray that when God begins to step back and he allows this great shaking to come, that many Americans will turn back to him. And I know this about God. Those who turn to him, he will be a shield. But here's the reality. Many people are going to give their lives in this last hour. There will be many martyrs. I don't even know how to say this, but I know from different sources, inside sources, the plans that these evil people have for Christians in America. DHS agents, FEMA agents, a lot of evil federal agents who have sold out. They don't care about being Americans. They don't care about America. They have sold out to the world government plan, to the world federation plan that's coming. They've sold out to the UN, the globalists, the Satanists, the Luciferians. They've sold out. And they want to stamp out the opposition. And the opposition to their plan, Lucifer's plan, the opposition is Christians. So America is going to get a very, very rude awakening on many fronts because we've sinned against the greatest light. We've had more churches, more Bibles, more radio preaching and TV preaching. And, you know, I remember back 30 years ago, 25 years ago, there used to actually be some good preaching on TV and on the radio. Some truth. And we've just, it's just all gone now. Just gone. So hear me out there. If you're listening, Christian, hear what I'm saying. Hear what our brother David's saying here. God's going to pay us back, our nation, for turning its back on him. And all he has to do, a lot of people think, well, that's just mean. Well, you know what? All he has to do is stop protecting us from our enemies. He finally, you know what he has to say? You don't want me in the schools. You don't want me anymore. You don't want prayer before your sports events. You don't want me anywhere. Okay, fine. I'll step away. Well, when he steps away, something else steps in. And that's Satan and the fallen angels and the demons. They step in. Evil people step in and begin to take over. And that's what we're seeing in America. That's why many of our last several, and I say that several presidents, have been very evil men, Republican and Democrat, very evil men on the same side, on Satan's side, undermining the United States. They don't care. It's about the coming global Luciferian satanic agenda that's coming down the pike. People better wake up because they've got to get America out of the way to have their world government that they want to have and to have the system they want to have. And they're going to do it. If they have to false flag attack the United States, they're going to do it somehow. If they have to continue to print money and stir this thing up with Russia until the dollar collapses, whatever they got to do, they are working hard towards it. I mean, I know I'm probably digressing here a bit, but I'm just so sick of it. I'll listen to Beck when
Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, we're back. We had a little technical problem. For some reason, I was cut off there. But anyway, we are back. I want to see if, David, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay. When did it end, man?
When did what
end? Off.
Oh, yeah. You said Glenn Beck.
Ah. Wow. I tell you what, that's never happened on any of our shows. And for some reason, I couldn't even get it to call back in. I was using Skype and to do the show, but we did last week, and for some reason, it just cut me off. I had to go back and go through my cell phone. So, interesting.
Wow.
Well, listen, we only got about 9 minutes left, and is there anything you want to say? Just a couple of minutes, and then I'm going to do some announcements and things and take care of that. But any last words, brother?
I would just say don't disregard these prophetic words. Seek the Lord concerning these things. Consider them. Weigh them out with Scripture also. You know, test these things and ask God concerning them. And also, what you can do about these things. Don't just lay this aside and say, well, that's not my calling or that doesn't pertain to me. You know, the gift of the prophet is a gift to the church, you know, the body of Christ, and has its purpose to edify and build up the church, you know, and it needs to be, the church needs to hear these things and needs to do accordingly to what is spoken by God through the prophets today. You know, the prophets are moved by the Holy Spirit. The same prophets that pinned, the, you know, the prophets were those who were moved by the Spirit and pinned down the Scripture. You know, as we see, in the Old Testament, and in the same way, prophets are moved by God and speak the Word of God today, and it's still the same Word of God. Whatever comes forth from the Spirit of God is the Word of God. You know, so I think too often we disregard. Our sure word of truth is the Bible, because We can't say that just anybody here, you know, just because they claim to be of God, that they're speaking the Word of God, and that's the same as the Bible. But the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. The Word comes from the Spirit, and so if God speaks through somebody today, it is His Word, and it will come to pass exactly as it's spoken, exactly as it's said. Now, in the same way that we speak by the Spirit, we also need to test the Spirit by the Holy Spirit. You know, like you mentioned, my sheep hear my voice. They hear it today. We can hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches today through the prophets, through the apostles, through the men of God today. And so we should definitely not disregard these things and definitely seek the Lord concerning these things also if we are unsure. You know, we do have reasons to be unsure, you know, because of all the white noise, all the different things that are spoken that do not come to pass, but that's why we do have to test the spirits. Don't be lazy and just let these things go, but test the spirits. See if what it said is of God or not. You know, so that's what I have to say.
Amen. Well, brother, I want to thank you for being bold and sharing your testimony and speaking the word tonight and sharing your dreams boldly and with confidence. And I've just enjoyed having you on, and I appreciate it, and let's stay in touch.
Absolutely, absolutely. And thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. God bless.
All right, God bless you too, man. All right, bye.
All right. Well, folks, I want to say, again, a great thank you to this young man who loves the Lord, David Loy, who's with us tonight. And he spoke a lot of truth, spoke a lot of scripture. And God is really, he's speaking to his people. I'm telling you, across the board, like I said earlier, I hear from people who have come from all different backgrounds, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Charismatic, non-denominational, Pentecostal. God is speaking to his people, and he's giving a lot of warnings. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back. And, again, if you just stay with us another few minutes, we're going to have an announcement about our upcoming prophecy conference. So stay with us. We'll be right back. All right, we are back, and you're listening to Prophecy Quake, and I'm Pastor Dean Odell, and we just have just a few minutes. I just wanted to encourage everyone, let you know that we are going to do a prophecy conference here in Alabama in 2014. Been praying about it, so our dates are, we haven't set a date, but we know the month, September 2014 will be our third Bible Prophecy Conference. We did one in January of 2012, one in August of 2013. The first one was End Times Revealed. The second one was The Beast Rising. We haven't decided yet on all the details, but we're going to be doing that in September. We'd love to have you. We're going to do it in Montgomery, Alabama, the capital of Alabama there. So we'll be getting details out to you on that. Also, be sure to visit our website, deanodell.org or fireandgracechurch.org for more information. We definitely have some things, a lot of resources. You can check us out on iTunes. Just search my name on iTunes, and you'll find a lot of free audio messages. Of course, I'm an author. I've written a couple of books, and we'd like for you to check those out. We've also got a free book on the Holy Spirit and the gift of tongues, I think a very important subject, and that's free at dnodal.org. Just go to the latest word, and you'll see the Tongues of Fire book. It's a PDF. You can download it for free. And anyway, we're here to bless you. So we've had a good night. I want to thank David again for being with us. Please, if you've had dreams or visions that you believe are from the Lord, Facebook me, email me. I'd love to hear what the Lord is saying. But it's time for us to go. We just pray blessings to you in the name of Jesus. We thank God for all that he's doing. And be ready, prepare yourself, and get close to him.
You've been listening to Prophecy Quake with Pastor Dean Odal. Be sure to join us next week, same time. And to further connect with us, go to deanodal.org or Facebook, Dean Odal Ministries.